This morning, I would like to ask you for your undivided attention. I promise you this morning, if you give me your ear, I will give you the word of God. I want to start my message off this morning as I remember a very funny story that was told about a young man. The story was told of this young man who was studying to become a preacher. And that young man who was studying to become a preacher was asked to preach his very first sermon on Mother's Day. What a day. His very first sermon, he was asked to preach on Mother's Day. The young man, not quite knowing what to preach, decided to attend an outdoor meeting, a crusade meeting that was taking place nearby. And while he was there at this crusade meeting, that night the young man, he heard the preacher who got up to preach that night, said something like this. The preacher said, "You know, I spent the best days of my life in the arms of another woman who was my mother." As the young man listened to that, he liked that. He said, "You know what, that would be a great way to open my sermon." So the young man, come Mother's Day, he got up to preach. And the young man decided, you know, as he got up to preach that Mother's Day and open up his sermon on that Mother's Day, the young man said, "You know, I spent the best days of my life in the arms of another woman." And he became so frightened that he forgot the rest of his lines. Poor guy. Many of us can attest to the fact that the best days of our lives were spent under the influence of our mothers. Amen? If we are all totally honest, we you know, for those of us who had that the opportunity to be influenced by our mother, hopefully in a positive way, we could say that this morning. Mothers play a vital role in the development of their children. We know that. You have learned nothing as yet. That is so true. In fact, it was Charles Spurgeon that says, that great preacher of another generation, Spurgeon said, "We shall never see better men until the mothers are better." And that is so true. Napoleon once said, "The future destiny of a child is always the work of the mother." Mothers, we know, make deposits into the life of their children. And again, we will never see better men, we'll never see even better women until the mothers are better. I was always amazed as I stood there as my first little girl was born. Many of you had the privilege of being there as well in that room. As the child came out, I remember I turned to the doctor and I says, "Where's the manual? What do I do from here?" And she chuckled. And you know, we are always reminded that children, really, they don't come with manuals, but they come with mothers. And fathers as well, praise God. But this morning, what I hope to do this morning, I want to present to you three stages of, you know, a mother's influence into a child's life as, you know, their Christian education. You know, sometimes we only think of secular education. Let me work hard so that my child can make it to a top school. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not bashing that. We ought to invest in our children academically. You ought to see to it that your child gets a good, grounded education. Hopefully he or she can build on that and make something of their life. But oftentimes we chase the secular education and we don't worry about the Christian education. So this morning, I want to show you a mother's influence when it comes to the idea of Christian education, because that's a forgotten art in our culture today. Your Bibles are open to the book of Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15, real fast this morning. 2 Timothy 3:15. We've just read 1 Timothy there. My first point this morning would be education begins early. Christian education begins early. 2 Timothy 3:15, it states here, "And that from a child thou hast what? Known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This book of Timothy, as we many of us know, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And what we've noticed here is that this young man, who is Timothy, he had godly parents. We saw earlier on, Paul told him in the reference that we read, Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5, Timothy, I call to remembrance. I remember the faith that is in you, but that faith that you have today, Timothy, you got it from your grandmother and you got it from your mother. It's amazing what we could pass on to our children. It's absolutely amazing what we can pass on. Folks, understand, listen, long after you are dead and gone, your legacy could live on to your children. And that's what that needs to be our goal. Because listen, you and I, we can live and we can leave $1 million to our children. They could lick it up overnight. They could run through $1 million overnight. But if you and I, we deposit godly principles in their life, that can last a lifetime. As we see, Paul says to Timothy here, I call to remembrance the faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And he says here in 2 Timothy, we just read it, he says here, and that from a child thou hast fully known the scripture. Somebody, a mother somewhere, took time out and taught this young man the word of God. So understand, when it comes to Christian education, my friends, Christian education begins very, very early. This young man here, Timothy, was very fortunate. God has blessed him to the point in which he had a godly mother. But not only that, he had a godly mother, he also had a godly grandmother. That's amazing. That's a rarity today for both mother and grandmother to be godly. To the point that they invested in this young man's life, and now he's a pastor at a church in Ephesus. It begins early. They taught him at an early age how to love God, how to love others. They probably had Timothy on their laps teaching him about the things of God, the wonderful truth that God created you. You are to live your life to honor God. The most important thing in your life, Timothy, is that you live your life to bring glory to God. I'm sure they taught him that. As a result, we see the evidence in this young man's life. Parents, mothers, this morning it's your morning. I want you to understand some things this morning. Your child's greatest need is not food. I know somebody don't vex. Your child's greatest need is not a good education. Your child's greatest need is not for you to build up his self-esteem. Folks, you and I, our duty, our children, their greatest need is to know Jesus Christ. To come into a saving relationship with him. You should be agonizing night and day. Oh God, save my son. Oh God, save my daughter. Because after you've crossed that threshold, after that has happened, folks, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. So your number one responsibility as a parent, your number one responsibility as a parent is to point your child or children to Christ. You should be there in their life as a pointer, as a roadmap where you can point them into the direction of Jesus Christ, to introduce them to Christ from an early age. Christian education, it begins very, very early. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Somebody needs to teach. And hearing by the word of God. Not only that, somebody needs to teach, but somebody needs to teach them the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody needs to be teaching. Somebody needs to be listening and hearing by the word of God. Understand, don't leave that for the school system. Don't even leave that for the church. Home is where it begins. We lament the moral decay in our society today. We're not even shocked anymore about the state of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, because it's become so second place now for something out of the way to happen. And folks, if we're totally honest, we can chase it all back to the home. The home is the problem. You see, here's the thing. The home is the most powerful school in the world. Hear me now, somebody. The home is the most powerful school in the world, and mothers, you are the most influential teachers. Understand that. You are the most influential teachers. But it begins at a very, very early age. Many of us, we grew up hearing, you can't bend it, you at all. Just yesterday, a friend of mine was talking to me about his son, who is 15 years old. He says, Pastor Kirby, my son is a very respectful little boy. He's never disrespected me until this week. He said, this week, I asked my son to cut his hair because I don't like how when he grows out his hair. And he said, for the first time, my 15-year-old, whom I provide for, watch me in my face and says, no, he's not going to cut it. He says, I don't know. I just launched at him and it was good that people was around because I probably would have licked him out. He says, I've never seen that before. But it happens. It happens. When that child gets to a certain age, because maybe certain things weren't dealt with at a certain age, and then that will just manifest itself. Christian education begins. It begins early. A mother once approached her pastor. After church one Sunday morning, this mother came up to the pastor and she asked the pastor, she said, Pastor, when should I begin, you know, teaching my four-year-old the things of God? And the pastor couldn't believe what she's asking him. She said, Pastor, when should I begin in the education of my child, the Christian education of my child? And who's 4 years old, and the pastor, he turns, he looks at that woman, he says, Madam, if you have not already begun, you've lost 4 years. As soon as your child can give a message, they can get a message. Hello, somebody. You know, as soon as they can give a message, they can get a message. So you don't have to wait and wonder, when should I start disciplining my child? When should I start educating my child? As soon as they can give a message, they can get a message. So if you haven't begun, you've lost all that years. But I got good news for you, youth. It's never too late to start. Praise God for grace. And sometimes we fail to do our jobs in the home, and then we blame the church. Hello, somebody. Well, it's just that the pastor them don't really take care of the children. There's not enough at church for the children them to do. So they have the pastors and the church trying to create things for children to fix them. Folks, understand, the church cannot resurrect what the home has put to death. It really can. We can do our best here, but understand, if the home is pulling one way and the church is pulling another way, we're not making any progress. So again, I want to say to you this morning, mothers, Christian education, it begins at a very, very early age. If they can give a message, they can receive a message. We are living in a time now where children used to ask us where they came from. Now they're telling us where to go. Yeah, that's the age we're living. Children used to ask us where they came from. Today they're telling us where to go. But when I read my Bible, I see certain things happening at a very early age. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter number 22. Let's begin there. Proverbs 22, verse number 15. It says here, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You see where foolishness goes? To the heart. Foolishness does not go to the foot or to the hand of the child. The foot and the hand of the child might manifest that. You see, foolish behaviors. But the Bible tells us here, foolishness is wrapped up in the heart of a child. But watch here now. Here's how you deal with it. But the what? But the rod of what? Correction shall drive it far from him. But today we have modern psychology. You sometimes subject yourself to modern psychology. Some teacher might tell you, don't hit your child because it will teach them to fight. So we living in a time today where people are smarter than God. Amen? Yeah, they want us to believe if you only hit your child, they're gonna learn to fight and they're going to become aggressive and all that. But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that this child in his heart or her heart, foolishness is bound up there, and to deal with that foolishness, the rod needs to be applied. Now, I'm not talking about abuse here now. Because, you know, some of you glad, you know, mothers, you say, oh yeah, pastor, you're right on the ball here. Talking about discipline. Sometimes many of you, some of you might abuse your child. You're disciplining in vexation. You don't discipline when you vex. You cool yourself first. And when you are already calm, you go back and you administer that to the child. So it becomes a teachable moment to you, for you too as well. As you sit him down or her down, you explain to him. Because you beat the child even know he getting licks for. Because you're bringing in all, everything in one. The child needs to know what he or she has done. So we see here, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction. I always say, in every home, you need to have two things. Every home in St. Vincent and the Grenadines need two things. You need a Bible, and you need a belt. Yeah, you need a Bible and a belt, and these two things, one is for instruction, the other is for correction. You need those two things in homes today. Many homes have neither. The word of God, they don't have time for that. Belt, I ain't gonna hit my child. That's child abuse. But every day he abusing you. Proverbs 23, look at verses 13 and 14. Let me move on. I didn't answer somebody too, so let me move on. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Look at what it says here. We're talking about Christian education begins early. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, what? He shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know, one of the things that you always say, it is better to break a leg today to save a life tomorrow. The Bible says, you know, some parents believe that the most loving thing that they can do is to not hit their child. In fact, that's the most hateful thing that you can do. You claim to love your child, but you withhold discipline from him. The Bible says here, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but mine makes it clear here. Withhold not correction from the child. It is because I love my child while I would hit him or her, while I would apply the rod. And again, I want to make a distinction here. I'm talking about discipline, not abuse, child abuse. Proverbs 29:15, look at what it says here. The rod, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. You want them to learn? You want them to wise up? The rod and reproof gives wisdom. But a child left to himself, what? Shame to who? You see who the shame run back to? The mothers. Because most fathers are absent anyway. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. So your failure to discipline at an early age is going to come back to bite you. Because all you're doing is that you're creating a monster. And before soon, he might be disrespecting teachers. You're not correcting him because you don't like the teacher to begin with. He comes to church, he disrespects people at the church and start disrespecting police. And you think you're going to get away from that. You soon will be disrespected. Because he or she has absolutely no authority, no respect for authority. And it's going to come to you at some point. So that's why anytime in your life, in your child's life, anytime your child or your children disrespect an authority figure, you ought to deal with it. You ought to deal with it. Sometimes, many mothers, they only get upset when they are embarrassed. You're in the supermarket and the child throwing a temper tantrum in the supermarket, everybody turning around watching you, so you feel bad now, you feel, Johnny, behave yourself. And Johnny does the same thing home, you don't correct him home. So Johnny is surprised now. You know what you're doing there? You're raising a hypocrite. Yes. Hello, somebody. Yes. I feel like stop preaching now. Johnny is doing the same thing at home. Nobody is telling Johnny anything. But you in the supermarket now, Johnny is carrying on with the same thing he carries on at home. You embarrassed now in the supermarket, but all of a sudden you're disciplinarian in supermarket. And Johnny does the same thing home. You don't correct him. You are raising a hypocrite. That's what you're doing. And you're confusing the poor child. The child doesn't understand what's going on here. But mommy, I think that was right. Because you led him to believe it's okay. Christian education, it begins early, begins very early. Sometimes I wonder, because many people want to have children, but they really don't want to be parents. They want to have children, but they don't want to be mothers, it seems like. But it starts early. But here's something else. Not only the mother's influence, Christian education begins early, but Christian education is my second point. It molds true life. Turn with me in the Old Testament into 2 Chronicles 22. Let me just lift this story out. 2 Chronicles 22 in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 22. 2 Chronicles 22. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. It's Christian education. It begins early, but it's Christian education. It molds through life. 2 Chronicles 22 says, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, the youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came up with the barbarians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab." Watch this now. "For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." Here we have a young king influenced by his ungodly mother. Time does not permit me to talk about Athaliah. But suffice to say, she's the daughter of Jezebel. So that's all you need to know. Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, had a son. He became king, and his mother was his counselor. That's how the story goes. And the Bible tells us that this mother counseled her son to do wickedly. Listen, you see, a bad mother is a bad start in life. It is. It's a bad start, but thank God for grace. She can change and the child can change too. Because folks, understand, as a mother, you're always teaching. You're always in teacher mode. You realize that? You're always teaching. You teach by your words, but you teach by your life. And here's the thing about teaching from a mother's perspective. Children would quicker follow your example rather than your advice. Hello, somebody. You know, you can talk until you're blue in the face at times. Many of you, sometimes you talk to your children, you feel like you're talking to a wall. You have better response from a wall. You know, you so understand you're there as a parent and understand you're teaching not by your words, but by your life. And if they have to choose, they will easier follow your lifestyle, your example, than your words. In the book of Psalms, we know children are a heritage from the Lord. And it's our responsibility as God gives us that heritage. Not everybody have children. Some are not able to, some choose not to, and that's okay. That's all part of God's divine plan at times. But for those of us who are privileged enough to do that, God expects us to mold them through life, to show them the way through life. They are our heritage. And as we give them counsel, as we give them advice through life, let it be godly advice. Train up a child in the way he should go. Sometimes we want the child to go in our way. Many mothers are guilty of the fact that they want to live their life to their children. You didn't achieve certain things. Maybe you had dreams to become a singer. So as soon as your child born, you don't enlist him or her in singing school. Or whatever your life goal was, you want to live your life through your child. And you force that little boy or that little girl to do things that they really have absolutely no desire to do. Just because that's what you wanted to do. So then sometimes parenting could become a burden and that's a blessing. God wants parenting to be a blessing and not a burden. It should be a joy, not a hardship. Because our job is to mold them through life. Christian education, it continues through life. And it is so important, mothers. Because I understand a girl, or even a woman for that matter, try as you may, cannot become a man. We have this whole transgender thing going on, but a girl could never be a man. I don't care what science say and what the doctors are calling you, and you know, a girl can't be a man. But a mother can help mold a man. And mothers can help mold a man. Folks, your job as he or she grows through life, is you're there as their counselor, pointing them in the way that God would have them go. You're not just teaching them how to make a living, but you're teaching them how to live. How to live. How to respect, how to honor, how to love their God. And oftentimes the task gets so difficult for many parents, many mothers, because let's be honest, it's a very thankless task. You do the same thing today, you got to get up and do it over tomorrow again. Sometimes children never seem to learn, or they don't learn as quickly as we would like them to, so it becomes frustrated. And it's a thankless task oftentimes. Story was told of this mother. This mother found under her place one morning at breakfast a bill made out by her small son, Bradley. And Bradley is only 8 years old. And listen to the note that he left on the breakfast table for his mother. He wrote, Bradley wrote, "Mother owes Bradley for running errands, 25 cents. For being good, 10 cents. For taking music lessons, 15 cents. For extras, 5 cents. Total, 55 cents. Story continues, says the mother smiled, but she made no comment. At lunch, Bradley found a bill under his plate with 55 cents and another piece of paper neatly folded like the first. Opening it, he reads, "Bradley owes mother for nursing him through fever, nothing. For being good to him, nothing. For clothes, shoes, and playthings, nothing. For his playroom, nothing. For his meal, nothing. Total, nothing." That is so true to life, isn't it? Children, they're takers. And mothers, they're givers. Children, they're takers. That's their nature. They always want something, it seems like. They're always in need, and mothers always seem to give. You owe them nothing. Mothers are always there, and it costs them nothing. But still, yet you press on, doing what God has called you to do. I just want to encourage you this morning, especially those of you who are Christian mothers, I want you to create a thirst in your child's heart or your children's heart for righteousness. You ought to live in such a way that when your child look at you through life, as you help molding him through life, when they look at your life, they must say, "Mother, may I have a faith like yours. Mother, may I have a heart like yours. Mother, may I have hands like yours." Be a godly example. And it will mold them through their life. Christian education, it begins early. It continues through life. And finally, Christian education never fades. with time. Proverbs 22:6. Let's look at this and then we're almost done. Proverbs 22:6. We know it all. We know this verse well. It says here, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, what will happen? He will not depart from it. By the way, this is a principle, not a promise. It's a general principle that applies. And the idea here is that when you teach your child certain truths at an early age, age cannot erase that chaining. That child may go through things in his or her life. They will even go places that will break your heart. But the training remains there. Because the training is foundational. It's like that. So Christian education, it never really fades with time. It's always there. A mother's training really never grows old. Sometimes you wonder if you are making a difference. I know. Sometimes you wonder, if I teach him this or teach her this, does it really going to change anything? How many times have I recited Ephesians 6:1? Children, obey your parents, but he's doing whatever he wants. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Because one day he's going to be in a bind, and that same verse is going to come back like a boomerang to him. Had I obeyed my parents, I would not have been here. That same verse that you wonder if it's making a difference. That verse will come back. He might be sitting down here, in a cell at the police station. And then Ephesians 6:1 might just come back to him. Oh, where have I heard that? Yeah, that's the verse mommy always tell me. It will come back to him. Because it's there. But if nothing is there, there's nothing to come back. They never age. And children, they become adults, live their life. They get old, but not your teaching. Your teaching lives on. Again, start Christian education very early. As soon as they can get a message. Don't waste time. Discipline your children. Withhold not correction from them. That's what the Bible teaches. As they go through life, you are moving through life with them. You're going to be their counselor. Understand, your job is not to be their best friends. Because if you try to be their best friend, I'm not saying don't have a close friendship. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you got to be that voice of reason. That says, listen, you're my daughter, you're my son. I don't want you to go these places. But mommy, everybody's doing it. Listen, you're not everybody, you're my child. So you mold them through life. But Pastor Kirby, I've been doing that, but they're still doing their own thing. Keep doing it. Because it never grows old. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, wouldn't depart from it. The foundation is there. The training never gets old. God will make sure engineer things in his life or her life. Oh, God will put him in a spot. God will put her in a spot. And the only person she realize can help me would be mommy. And mommy's teaching will come back. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, but it is not impossible. It's not impossible. So, mother, you have a wonderful privilege. God has given you an esteemed position where you can influence this child or children, even more so than many fathers. Because a mother's bond is much closer than a father's bond. That's just the truth of the matter. My daughters, they could be outside in the backyard playing. Like last night, we had an accident. Cassidy fell. She bumped her head. I was right there. The child didn't want me. The child wants to go to mommy. And I said, praise God, I'm relieved of that. You know, Kelly bumps her toes, she runs to mommy, who wants daddy? Because my philosophy is it's going to be all right, just, you know, it's fine, everything is okay. But mommy would hug, and mommy would nurture, mommy would kiss, and mommy would caress, and mommy would give affection. Daddy is like, well, it's all right, it's fine, just relax yourself there a while. Yes. Get up and get another one. That's life. I would just say, you know, it's life, Kelly. These things happen. It's okay. But not a mother. She loves, she cares, she caresses. She's tender. God makes you all so special. You're so different. You're so different. You're so patient. You're so caring and compassionate. And that's what God uses, is that tenderness, that affection, that patience that you have, that maybe we as men, if we are totally honest, we just don't possess that. You can use that to make a difference. I want to read a poem here, then I'm almost done. The poem says, I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. It came again when days were past. The form I give it still, it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could not change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielded heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. Folks, again, you begin early, because the later you begin, the harder it is to mold that clay. Mothers this morning, children will carry the scars or the trophies which they got from you all through their lives. You will leave a permanent impression on your child, positive and negative. You have the power. As I close this morning, I want to just ask you a question. Mothers, you're here this morning. This is not a question I want you to answer out loud, but this is a question I want you to take home with you. Take home this question with you this morning. The question is, what if your child were to become just like you? Would you be proud of your child? What if your child were to become the spitting image of you? I'm not talking about just a parent. I'm talking about a life that you have chosen right now. What if that child were to become everything like mommy? Would you be proud of your child? And if not, if the answer is no, Pastor Kirby, I want you to do more than me. My life is not right. Again, if the answer really is not, then you need to change your life. You need to take a hard look at your life and says, you know, let me change my life. Let me live in such a way that if my child were to become just like me, I would be proud. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, again, I beg you this morning, reflect God through the way that you live. And hopefully your child or your children can do the same. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I beg you this morning, surrender your life to Jesus Christ before time changes to eternity. Because sometimes you as an unsaved mother, and you see your children going down a path, and you're trying to correct them, but then they look at your life and they say, but mommy's telling me this, but she ain't no different. You might be the change your children is waiting on. I'm just amazed that if you just surrender your life to Jesus Christ, allow God to work in your life, make something beautiful of your life, you would not just, become a different person. You'll become a new person in Christ, my friend. You'd be amazed how God could turn around your life and change your whole house. You'd be amazed what God can do. As a mother, you have that influence on your children. So you might be here this morning and you're not saved. I beg of you, live in such a way that God will be pleased with you and you'll be worthy following. No human love as loyal or as strong as a mother's love. That is so true. Fathers turn backs on children. Brothers and sisters become sworn enemies. Husbands leave wives. Wives forsake husband. It goes on and on. But a mother's love. Oh, a mother's love. It is so strong. That bond that lasts forever. Washington Irving wrote, "A mother is the truest friend we have on earthly plane. When trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends who rejoice with us in our sunshine do not when trouble thickens around us, a mother is always there." This morning. This morning, I thank God for our mothers. And I pray this morning, if you're a godly mother or even a grandmother this morning, maybe your children have all grown and they're living lives, making children as well, and what little limited impact you can have on their life, grab a hold of it, grandmothers, as well. We understand the primary responsibility is on the mothers, but sometimes it just so happens as a grandmother, you do what you have to do. Be a godly grandmother to them. If the mother's not in the picture, then you play that role of a mother. Invest, deposit. Pass on your faith. That's the key. Pass on your faith to your children. And hopefully, again, when God comes in, He'll make something new in lives today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for